Hey everyone, ready for a deep dive? Today we're going to get into some seriously interesting stuff. Location data and privacy. Bet you didn't realize how much this affects you every single day.
Oh, it does. Absolutely.
We're starting with something that really shook up the tech world recently.
Yeah.
The Gravy Analytics data breach.
It's huge. Like, it's just the tip of the iceberg, honestly, you know?
Oh, really?
For how much data these data brokers are collecting. And it's not just them.
Right.
It's a whole industry kind of in the shadows.
Okay, well, let's break it down. So for anyone who hasn't been following, what is Gravy Analytics? What do they do?
Well, they basically gather up location data from a ton of apps that we use all the time.
Okay.
So like fitness trackers, even those mobile games you play, you know, when you're bored.
Oh, yeah.
All that stuff. And they basically turn around and sell all this data.
To like advertisers and stuff?
Yeah. All sorts of companies for different reasons. Yeah.
Okay. And how much are we talking about here? Like, is this a big amount of data?
Tens of millions of location points.
Oh, wow.
And get this. The breach itself wasn't some crazy elaborate hack or anything.
No.
Seems like the hacker just kind of stumbled on a security flaw in their cloud storage.
Oh, so just like a simple mistake.
Kind of like finding a hidden key. That unlocked, you know, a treasure chest of info.
Sensitive information?
Yeah. And to prove they had it, the hacker actually leaked some of this data on a cybercrime forum, and that's when it got really interesting.
It was in the data.
Well, it included locations from some very sensitive places.
What do you mean? Like, what kind of places?
We're talking, like, the White House.
Wow.
Even military bases.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, it suddenly becomes not just about, like, tracking where someone got coffee. This stuff reveals patterns and routines, even habits. You could track people based on this.
Yeah, based on them going to very specific locations over and over.
Yeah, and that's where things go way beyond targeted ads, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine the potential for surveillance or exploitation. Yeah. Certain groups could be targeted even based on this information.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's a bit unsettling.
What has Gravy Analytics done about this since it happened?
Well, of course, they've publicly acknowledged it and they've shut down operations for now, but there's still a ton of uncertainty.
Yeah.
Their website's been down, and no one really knows what data was actually taken or who has access to it now.
So it's still kind of an open question.
It is. And this lack of transparency is a big issue with the whole data broker industry in general. They gather and sell this information, often without us even knowing, you know?
Right. And definitely without our consent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So how are they doing this? How are they getting all this data? They're not just, like, spying on our phones 24/7.
No, not quite, but it's definitely a complex system. They're pulling data from a bunch of different sources.
Like what?
So sometimes they use public records or they track your online activity. And yes, those apps on your phone are definitely feeding them info too.
Right.
And they use all of this to create these really detailed profiles.
Oh, wow.
Your demographics, interests, and of course, location history. It's all part of the puzzle.
And then they sell it.
To anyone who will pay, pretty much.
Yeah, that sounds a little unnerving. It's like shady backroom deals.
You're not wrong. One of the main ways it gets used is through this thing called real-time bidding, or RTB for short. It's the tech that lets those hyper-personalized ads just pop up on your phone, you know? Like you walk by a coffee shop, suddenly, boom, there's a latte ad.
Oh, so that's how they do it. Okay, it all seems innocent enough, but it means they're tracking and analyzing our every move.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's like our location's a beacon, just sending out signals everywhere we go.
It is. And that's just the beginning. What's really concerning is how this data can be used for more than just selling us coffee.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like who else has access to this information and what are they doing with it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, and that's a whole other can of worms.
A can of worms that will be opening right after this. Stay tuned. Welcome back. Before the break, we were talking about all those data brokers and how they operate. It's easy to get lost in the technical stuff, but I want to talk about how this location data is actually being used out in the real world.
Yeah.
This is where I think things get.
Yeah, it gets fascinating.
Yeah.
And a little unsettling.
Okay, so how is it actually being used that might surprise people?
Well, one of the biggest areas is predictive policing.
Really?
Yeah.
Like Minority Report?
Kinda, yeah. So law enforcement's actually using this data to try and predict where crimes might happen.
Wow. So they're analyzing patterns and trying to, like, stay ahead of the game.
Exactly. They want to be one step ahead, and they're using our phones to do it.
That's both really cool
and
kind of scary.
It is. It raises a lot of ethical questions, you know?
Like what?
Well, are we okay with algorithms basically influencing law enforcement decisions?
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely risk of bias there, right?
Oh, absolutely. There's potential for profiling, even false accusations, all based on location data.
It's a slippery slope.
It is.
So predictive policing, that's one. What are some other ways this data is being used that people might not even realize?
Well, think about political campaigns. They can use this data to target their messages to specific people based on where they go.
Really? So, like, if I'm always at the gym, they'll show me ads for candidates who are, like, all about health and fitness.
Exactly. Or let's say your data shows you often visit religious places, then you might see messages that line up with certain values.
So they're really just micro-targeting us based on our movements.
Pretty much, yeah.
It's fascinating how they can get such a detailed picture of our lives
Right.
just from knowing where we go.
Yeah, and it can feel a little creepy, you know?
Yeah, it's definitely unnerving to think that our every move is being used to try and sway us one way or another.
It's a subtle form of manipulation for sure.
It is. It really highlights how important it is to be aware of this stuff. Okay, so we've got law enforcement, we've got political campaigns. Who else? What other examples are out there?
Believe it or not, insurance companies are getting in on this too.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They use location data to assess risk and, figure out how much to charge you.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Like if your driving data shows a lot of speeding or hard braking, your insurance could go up.
So my lid foot could actually cost me money.
It could, yeah.
Okay, I'll keep that in mind next time I'm on the highway.
And it's not just insurance. Employers are using this stuff too.
What, really?
Yeah, to track their employees' productivity.
No way.
Oh, yeah. They can track when you arrive, when you leave, how long you take for lunch, even your movements within the office.
It's starting to feel like Big Brother, you know?
Yeah, it does raise some concerns about privacy for sure. Where's the line between, doing business and invading people's personal lives?
Right, exactly.
And some companies are even pushing it further, like tracking employees even when they're not at work. Yeah, which raises even more questions about how far is too far,
Okay, well
Yeah.
that's some pretty unsettling stuff.
It is.
But before we all decide to just like ditch our phones and go off the grid, which is tempting at this point,
Yeah.
let's talk about what we can actually do to protect ourselves besides the basics. I want to know some like next level stuff.
Yeah, okay.
What can we do to really step up our privacy game?
All right. Well, one option is to use a VPN.
A VPN.
Yeah, it stands for Virtual Private Network. Basically, it encrypts your internet traffic and it masks your IP address.
So it's like putting on a disguise online.
Kind of, yeah. It makes it a lot harder for websites and apps to track where you are.
Cool.
Right.
Okay, so VPN, that's one. What else?
Well, another thing is to start using privacy-focused browsers and search engines.
Oh, interesting. So, like, what are some examples?
Well, there's Brave Browser, it's got built-in ad blocking and all sorts of privacy features. And then for search engines, there's DuckDuckGo. They don't track your searches or collect any personal information.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we've got VPNs, privacy browsers, special search engines. It's like we're building a fortress of privacy here.
Yeah, exactly.
But even with all of that, can we ever truly be anonymous online these days?
Honestly, it's tough. Complete anonymity is really difficult to achieve,
Yeah.
but we can definitely make it way harder for these companies to track and profile us.
Okay.
It's about making it not worth their while, you know?
So, like, we're creating this giant maze. And it's just too complicated to even try to follow us.
Exactly. It's not about being invisible, but it's about making yourself less of a target.
I like that. It's about taking control,
Yeah.
making informed choices about how we navigate this crazy digital world.
Exactly.
All right, well, we've covered a lot of ground in this part of our deep dive. We talked about some real-world uses of location data and some pretty advanced strategies for protecting our privacy.
Yeah.
But there's even more to come. We're going to dive into even more privacy tips after a quick break. So stay tuned. All right, we're back and ready to wrap up our deep dive into location data and privacy. We've talked about data brokers, those surprising ways our locations get used, and
Okay.
even some tools to help us take back some control.
Right.
But I'm wondering, are there any like super hardcore strategies people can use?
Oh, yeah, definitely. For people who are really serious about minimizing their, what do they call it, digital footprint, the idea is to just generate less data from the start. So there's less for them to collect.
So less is more when it comes to data. I like that. What would that actually look like, though, like in real life?
Well, you can be more careful about what apps you're using.
Yeah.
Limit what you share on social media, maybe even use a fake name online. It's all about being deliberate about what you put out there, you know?
Okay, so think about it like a real footprint, but online.
Exactly.
Okay, so being careful about what we share. What about like more advanced tech stuff?
Well, for the truly privacy conscious, there are things like privacy-focused operating systems, things like Tails or Quibes OS. They're designed for security and anonymity. Makes it much harder to track you.
Okay, those sound pretty intense. Is that just for super techie people?
Honestly, yeah, they do need some technical skill to set up. But if privacy is your absolute top priority, they're powerful tools.
Okay, so minimizing our footprint, special operating systems, anything else?
This one's a little more like a spy movie, but you can compartmentalize your online activity.
Okay, what does that mean?
Use separate browsers, maybe even separate devices for different things. So one browser for personal stuff, one for work, or one device just for banking and another for social media, you
Oh,
know?
so it's like creating different online identities.
Yeah, kind of. Keeps things separated so it's harder to put together the whole picture.
I love that. Makes it way harder to track you across different platforms.
Right.
Okay, these are all fantastic tips, but this world of data privacy is always changing, right?
Oh, absolutely. New threats pop up, new tech comes along.
So we can't just set it and forget it. We have to stay on top of things.
Exactly. You got to stay informed. There are some great resources out there, though. The Electronic Frontier Foundation or the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, they give really good info and advice about all things privacy.
So it's like we have to be lifelong students of privacy.
Pretty much, yeah. The more you understand how data is collected and used, the better you can protect yourself.
This has been a really amazing deep dive. We've learned so much about location data and privacy in this digital age. What's the key takeaway you want our listeners to remember?
You have more power over your data than you might think. You're not helpless. There are things you can do to protect your privacy, big and small.
So it's about being proactive, not panicking.
Exactly. It's about making choices that match your values and demanding more transparency from those companies that are collecting our data.
As we wrap up, then, here's a question for everyone listening. Now that you know all of this, what will you do to protect yourself? It's definitely worth thinking about.
Keep learning, keep exploring. And keep asking questions. Your privacy matters.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. It's been fascinating and sometimes a little unsettling, but ultimately empowering, I think.
I agree.
Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay private.